Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion. We have a couple of announcements. It looks like Karen is turning 24. You'll find them in the back of your bulletin. The food pantry is on Monday. I am Vicar Berg. There's an announcement about me. And there's a new program, People Enjoying People, that will begin on Thursday, September 18th at 11:30 in the morning. So you can see the announcements for yourself. So let us begin with the opening hymn, number 821.
Yes.
please rise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will.
Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places in his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let us now confess our sins to God our Father.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and grant us your forgiveness. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We repent of our sins, those known to us and those unknown as well. Create in us clean hearts, gracious Lord, and put new and right spirits within us, that we may be reconciled to you and at peace with all people.
We trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness that we seek today and at all times.
Give us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us into paths of righteousness,
and finally bring us to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 66. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, who to the coastlands afar off that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters, and on mules and dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, and some of them also I will take for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We will recite the second article of the Creed for our teaching. I believe
in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. Who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live with him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
All right, you may be seated. At this time, we'll have the children come forward. So were you listening when we read the epistle? And I said, it is for discipline that you have to endure. The bit where I said, besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Do you like it when you get disciplined?
It could be better.
Yeah. How about you? Do you like it when you get disciplined?
No.
No. You don't know what it means?
Alex.
Oh. Well.
She doesn't know what discipline means.
Okay, so discipline is when you do something that you shouldn't do. And you get punished for it. Do you like it when that happens?
No.
No. I don't either. So why do we get punished?
Because we did something wrong.
Is it just because you did something wrong?
Sometimes it isn't.
So the reason that we get punished when it's done rightly, the reason we get punished is so that we learn to do better in the future. If we do something that's dangerous and we get punished for it, it's so that we stay safe. When I was young, I would get punished for riding my bicycle with no hands because I would be weaving around out in the middle of the street where the cars were, going all over the road, and I could easily have gotten hit by a car. And I thought it was fun to ride with no hands, but my parents thought it was dangerous, so they punished me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So did they punish me because they were mad that I was having fun?
No.
No. They punished me because they wanted me to be safe so that I would grow up and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So when our parents punish us, or when God punishes us, because he does too, he's like our father, but he's our father in heaven. Exactly, Heavenly Father. He also does it for our good, so that we'll grow up and be healthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Okay, you can go back to your seat. Thank you. We now continue with the hymn of the day, number 605.
Father welcomes all his children to his family through his Son, Father giving his salvation, life forever has been won. Little children, come to me, for my kingdom is of thee. Life and mercy for your sin. Father welcomes all his children to his family through his Son. Father giving his salvation, life forever has been won. In the water, promise to be assured, those who are baptized and believe shall be born again. Father welcomes all his children to his family through his Son. Father giving his salvation, life forever has been won. Dost daily die to sin, let us daily rise with him. Walk in the love of Christ our Lord, live in the peace of God. Father children to his family through his Son. Father giving his salvation, life forever has
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I used to work as a computer programmer. At one of the companies I worked for, the sales team would occasionally drag me along on sales calls to explain the technical details of how our product worked. It didn't happen all that often, every few months maybe, but it was often enough that I got used to the routine of dealing with airports and airlines and rental cars and hotel rooms and all the things that happen when you have to make a business trip. I never really got used to it, though, to the same extent as the guys on the sales team who were flying someplace different every week. One thing I never really got used to was just how much those guys hated waiting around at the airport and hated being stuck in the airplanes. They liked to get to the airport at the very last minute, and they wanted to be the last one to get on the airplane so they wouldn't have to spend one more minute in that airplane than they had to. They made an art form out of knowing what time to leave to get to the airport, to get through security, to get through the terminal, to get to the airplane without a minute to spare. We'd often get to the gate after the plane had already started boarding. The reason I bring this up is that every once in a while, not too often, but once in a while, we would get to the airport a little too late to catch our flight. And I want to say that if you rush through the airport, jumping over piles of luggage and darting around people, and you get to the gate just in time to watch the airplane pull away through that big window, that's not a good feeling. In fact, it's a terrible feeling. In our gospel reading, someone asked Jesus if only a few people are going to be saved. Now, it seems like an innocent question, just, you know, is it going to be many? Is it going to be few? But Jesus doesn't answer his question. Jesus certainly would know. He could say, yeah, only 14% of people will be saved. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he gives us a command, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Just like me at the airport, they're going to be on the wrong side of the door. They're going to want to be on the other side. So why do you suppose Jesus didn't answer the man's question? It seems like an innocent question. He's just wanting to know how many people will be saved. Now, I'm just speculating here, but maybe if we knew that only a few people are going to be saved, it would cause us to be despondent. If we knew that 99% of people are not going to be saved, then why should I try? Because I'm probably not going to be in that 1%. On the other hand, if we know many people are going to be saved, it might make us complacent. Well, 99% of all people get into heaven. Certainly I'm going to be in that 99%. There's nothing I need to do. That kind of thinking does not help us. As Christians, we're not called to despair or complacency. In the same way, Jesus doesn't tell us when he's going to return to judge the world. Instead, he tells us always to be prepared because no one knows the day or the hour. He does not tell us how many people are going to be saved. Instead, he tells us to strive to enter through the narrow door. Whether this is many or few, God only knows, and that knowledge would not be helpful for us. So what do we know about who is going to be saved? Well, the Bible gives us some clear guidance on this. It's not in terms of groups or individuals. Oh, it's not in terms of groups of people, but it's in terms of individuals. Mark 16 says that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And what exactly must we believe? That Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God, that he is the way, the truth, and the light, that he, history's only righteous man, suffered and died in our place so that we sinners might have everlasting life. All of this is what we recite together every week when we speak the words of the Apostle or Nicene's Creed. And regarding baptism, St. Peter says that baptism, which corresponds to this, which is Noah's being saved by the great flood, which nearly wiped everybody off the earth. Baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To those of you who are at Bible study this morning, that will be familiar because we were talking about baptism, and we will be again for the next few weeks. In our baptism, we're joined to him as the baptismal water washes away our old sinful selves, and we emerge with a clean conscience as children of God. So we can look to our baptism and say, I am a child of God. And we can look to our faith and say to ourselves, I believe that my Lord Jesus Christ has saved me through his death and that I will be resurrected just as he is resurrected. With those two things, we can have certainty about who will be saved, except for one little detail. We can't see into other people's hearts, so we can't know what they believe. We can only know this for ourselves. So going back to our text, Jesus doesn't spell all this out for the curious man. Instead, he encourages him to strive to enter through the narrow door. Then he goes on to tell a parable saying how once that narrow door is closed, nobody else will be able to get in. The ones outside say, Lord, open to us. And the master will say, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil. Now, I think I can speak for everyone here in saying that we don't want to be cast out as workers of evil. That's far worse than an airline employee telling you that you missed your flight. So what does it look like to strive to enter through the narrow door? Well, that's just the life of a Christian. It means to repent and be alert. What kind of repenting does the parable point out specifically? Well, repent means to turn away from sin. We were going one way toward the sin, we turn and we go away from it. It means to change our mind about what is good for us. We used to think that the things of the world were good for us, wealth, fame, and power, but now we think that the gifts of God are good for us instead. Peace, joy, mercy. In his parable, Jesus says to enter the door because once it closed, it will not open again. So we should repent of the idea that we can do what we want to today, since there's plenty of time to get right with God later. Once that door is shut, everyone outside will be turned away. So the time now, it's easy to go through the door, but in a coming time, it won't be possible. So don't treat it like a chore that you want to put off till later, because we don't know. The chores will still be there tomorrow, but the door might be closed. So take advantage of that opportunity while you can. We also repent of the idea that our status can save us. If we look back at what the people say in verse 26, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Eating and drinking in our presence is what Christians do in the church. This kind of looks like a street where I'm up here teaching. They're saying, in effect, we're special because we hung around you, Lord. Today we eat and drink in the Lord's presence, but the people left on the outside can't point back at having gone to church and having known about Christ. Those people heard Christ but did not believe him. So we repent of just coming to church is enough. Finally, we repent of our sins. As I'm sure we all know, this is fundamental to the life of a Christian. It's so important that we put a confession and an absolution at the beginning of every service. We're all sinners. We won't escape that in this life. Still, we know that Jesus died to take our sins away and to reconcile us to the Father. So we daily turn away from a life of sin and instead try to live in the new holy life that we received in baptism. Along with repenting, we must be alert. We should pay attention. We should be watching. The people from our parable who were caught outside knew where to find the door, and they knew that they wanted to be on the inside of it. What they didn't know was when the door would close. Jesus says in Matthew that no one knows the day or the hour of his return, so the only way is to be prepared all the time. We don't watch for signs of his coming. We don't say to ourselves, oh, I'm pretty healthy, I can wait a few years. We want to be alert, already be on the inside when that door closes. Inside means salvation. Outside means condemnation. Now we know that salvation comes by grace through faith. Grace just means that salvation is a gift, freely given, not earned, not because of merit, just a free gift. It's from Christ, who gives it freely to everyone with nothing expected in return. And then faith is how we receive this gift, by believing that the salvation is real and it's given to us despite our unworthiness. Getting inside the door is by faith, by believing that Christ has made the way for us and accepting his gift. So don't be like my salesman friends. I can understand why someone would not be in a hurry to sit around longer in an airport or to cram yourself onto an airplane where you're going to be for a couple of hours. But to delay entering Jesus' narrow door is to deny giving yourself the forgiveness of sins. It's not to accept the gift of a... It is to not accept the gift of a good conscience that was given to you in baptism. It is to risk losing your seat at the master's table. And for what? So that we can be controlled by the wicked desires of our flesh for a little longer. That's a terrible exchange. So I say to you, just as Jesus said to the curious man, strive to enter through the narrow door. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So now let us have the offering hymn, number 770.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If we try is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus is our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Please rise for the prayers. We'll use the responsive prayers today. So when I say, let us pray to the Lord, you will say, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for strong faith to enter ever more deeply into the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and to gather many with us who would repent of their sins and enter God's kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, for God to prosper the preaching of his word, for all preachers and church workers, and for the catechumens and all who teach and learn God's word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers called to bring up their children in the fear and love of God, that they would lovingly discipline their children and so show forth the fatherly love of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, who remains ever before him, even as the nations of this world rise and fall, that she would confidently and faithfully minister among the nations, fearing no worldly threat, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who care for the sick and attend to the dying, for those who care for our children, for our police, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, and disaster relief workers, and for our generous support of those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those who suffer, for those troubled in heart or mind, for the grieving in their sorrow, and for the dying in their last days on earth, especially Linda, Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Tom, Vicky, the Padillo family, Nora, and Jema, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who come from east and west and from north and south to recline at the Lord's table this day to feast upon the body of and blood of Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, that the speaking of his word would strengthen and sustain them in the one true faith, and that he would grant them his abundant blessing in the kingdom of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, you have drawn to yourself believers from all nations and sanctified them in holy baptism as priests and Levites in your church. Fortify their faith and embolden their witness that many may be gathered into the new heavens and new earth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn, number 817.
Earth and all stars, thou rushing planets, sing to the Lord on new song. Oh, the victory, thou shouting army, singing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things, I too will praise. I too.
to the Lord a new song. He has done more.